Holy Spirit. I'm going to start talking in a certain way. If you're not sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you may end up considering certain things of God in a certain way, which will not help you. Church is not a place we just get a miracle or a breakthrough and walk away. Church is not a place we come and sing some nice songs, we clap our hands, then we give some nice offering. Then, in fact, we give our Christian offering. We woke up from our Christian bed, and then we drove our Christian car, or we pick our Christian trotro, or our Christian boat. And then we come to the gathering of the church, the people of God. And we listen to some nice sermon, nice teaching. We pray one or two nice prayers. We clap our hands. We give some Christian offering. And then we rub our hands over the shoulder of our Christian husbands and Christian wives. And then if we have children, we take our Christian children home. We sit back in our Christian cars and we go back and eat our Christian food. Then we take our children back to Christian schools. Then we go to our Christian offices. That is not about church. Church is the gathering of the called out ones. The word is ecclesia. Ecclesia is the gathering of those that the Lord have called from the world. And he has brought them together into a certain space of fellowship with one another, so that they will find out about the laws, the plans of God, and inform the will of God in the earth. So you and I sitting here, we are not ordinary. You and I sitting here this morning, we are sitting here because we have been called out from different places of life. And Jesus, by the power of his redemption, has invited us from different walks of life, and that we will come together and put our heads together and cause the kingdom of God to accelerate and go forward in this earth. So very often, if you go to church, and I've said this before, I think Endless, there was some time ago I was teaching down there, and I said this, and I think you were in the service. I remember very well. I said, many people attend church services not knowing why they attend church services. Let me turn this thing off. It's killing me. Many people do not know why they attend church services. Because some preacher would have said that when you attend church, God will bless you. And so you realize that it is all about God will bless us, and we have not discovered our true calling and purpose in the earth. If you discover who you are, you become lonely. If you discover who you are and you decide to be who you are, you become a lonely person. Everybody wants you and I to be like him or her. Everybody. So you realize that friends will start rejecting you because you have chosen to be you. And at the same time, friends are rejecting you. The powers that be are scared of you, but you do not know because you do not have eyes to see into the realm of the spirit. Look, the devil doesn't care if we can be anything. He is so much concerned if we can be who we are. So when we come to the gathering of the saints, it's one of the places we discover ourselves. There are so many reasons why we come to the gathering of the saints. We come to church. We discover who we are, number one. We come to fellowship with one another. We share one another's burden. We like the children of Israel, will gather together periodically. We are drawn together. We are brought to a place where we'll be able to hear the command of the Lord and be directed, equipped, and go back to execute the mind of God. So somebody who is a politician and he's a believer, when you come to the gathering of the saints, you are supposed to be instructed uniquely. Please, I'm saying something because I'm going after something. You are supposed to be instructed uniquely. and a student supposed to be touched uniquely. Anybody in any capacity, engineer, a carpenter, a lawyer, an accountant, a housewife, a manager of a corporation, you are supposed to be instructed differently and empowered. Can you imagine that somebody who is, let's say, an engineer, and they are working on a certain height, and he has the ability to know things, and he would have realized that maybe he slept and the Lord revealed to him that, look, tomorrow when people go to the site on Monday, this particular height people want to work on, don't go and work on this height.
Thank you.
Go and work in this particular location. Because when you go on that height, Kofi specifically will make a mistake.
Okay.
And he will come down and die. And it is not because Kofi is making a mistake, but there is a power like this that will push him to make that mistake. So, but sometimes it's not a bind and lose that wins the warfare. Sometimes it's just repositioning yourself, and the enemy will pass this way and realize that he has missed it. So just imagine somebody who is an engineer, who is a student, he comes to the gathering of the saints and he's equipped and impacted with the grace of the prophetic and will be able to know the mind and the will of God. And he is exercising that mind and the will of God on the job. How would that look like? Just imagine a manager who is so busy and he has prophetic ability. And there's this tall document he needed to go through before a meeting tomorrow morning. And it is so busy he couldn't go through. But as he prayed and said, Father, speak to me concerning this document. What should I do? And the Lord will say that go to page so-so and so-and-so, page 292, paragraph 3 and paragraph 4. There is a clause in this paragraph. Should you both sign that contract, dead end. You will lose everything. There's one of the Pentecost leaders who happens to be on a board. And he had a meeting. He was on a board of one of the companies. He had a meeting the next day or something. And he couldn't read. So in the night, he prayed. And the Lord said, go to page so, paragraph this and that. There's a clause. If you sign it, you have willed this whole part of whatever out. And he went to the meeting, opened the page and said to the partners that, unfortunately, we can't sign because on this page, this clause needs to be changed and this, and that is a done deal. So we are not coming to church just because we have some miracle to receive. The true miracle, the true authentic miracle is the thing that is spiritual. It is when God heals your body, he is healing your body because he wants to fill you and strengthen you so that you can be his agent in the earth. So you can be a trader, but you are God's agent. You are God's guard. You are standing in that space. It's important that we understand why we come together. And when we have come together, God will bless us. He will bless us with finances. He will bless us. And we have to even understand the essence of the finances. Do you know that Jesus' death, it is not universally believed in because somebody paid somebody and they said, go and tell a lie that they stole his body?
Okay.
If not universally today, everybody would have believed that Jesus Christ indeed died. Somebody paid. It's a paid lie. A lie that is paid to be promoted. So imagine, in fact, my friend in LA was telling me that one time at one of the beaches, they wrote, no Jew or dog allowed here. What are they trying to say? That a Jew is a dog, isn't it? The next few weeks, the Jews bought the place. They understand the power of money. They know how to use it. Next time, you insult no Jew. By the time you said no this and that, they put a bill on your head. They say, we are buying you. No weapon. This one is not a gun. This one is not assassination. But by the time you are saying no, and nobody will take this city and that, before you realize they buy the businesses in the place. So, you see, we have to begin to understand why God calls us. Why will God call you and give you wealth and make you somebody to be wealthy? So, we have brothers in church. We have sisters in church. God begins to bless them. Doors are opening. Suddenly, they begin to enter into major, major opportunities. They are affluent and then they forget about. There's one man, one preacher was saying that there's a guy in his church. When they came, he wasn't married. Nigerian preacher. When he came, he wasn't married. He had nothing. And he prayed with this guy. Life began to change. Eventually, he got married. And life continued changing. Life continued changing. Life continued changing. Now he is filthy rich. He is golden rich. He is dusty. He went to pastor. He said, "Pastor, you know something? Now my status, I need a second wife. You know, I need a second wife. Pastor. And you know, where I have reached all my friends, and he doesn't understand the purpose of wealth. He doesn't know why God was blessing him. He thinks it's about second wife. I don't want to say some things. He doesn't know why God has committed that to him. So what I'm talking about this morning is for you to discover your purpose. Equip for the work of ministry. What is the work of ministry? What the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, what then is the work of ministry? So we want to explore that a bit. Then next week, if it's the will of God, I would go in further. And I'm going to be talking about the call. I'm going to be talking about the nature of the call. I'm going to be talking about relevant and significant living. The most powerful and significant person is not just the person who is rich and have money, but one who have discovered his purpose. We have rich people hanging themselves. There was some musician some years ago in Ghana who sang a song, something. He hanged himself with all the talents. Why would he hang himself and kill himself? There are people, somebody went to medical school thinking he's discovered, then he goes to hang himself and kill himself. So when you discover your purpose, you become very powerful. The devil is scared of you. In Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible says that to subvert a man from his course, the Lord does not permit. Your spiritual warfare, that is the way you conquer. To take Barbara and move her. Barbara is walking this and saying, "No, Barbara, this place you're walking, it's not the right place. You have to walk." The Bible says God does not permit it. God has not sanctioned it. And when you read after the verse after that, it said, "Who is he who speaks a word and it comes to pass and the Lord has not approved of it?" Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says that there are many devices in the heart of a man. Nevertheless, the purpose of God will stand. The purpose of God will stand. The most powerful thing is the purpose of God. Today, in the earth, apart from the Holy Spirit, if you want to be powerful, discover your purpose. But when you would have discovered your purpose, you become lonely. Leadership is a lonely path. Everybody turns their back to you. Everybody wants you to be. They want you to be like them. Then they will be in company with you, friends with you, and all of that. Yeah? But immediately you say, I'm different. And me, I don't want to be. You see what they will do to you. Oh, yeah, that guy is too known. Look at that lady. She's too known. She doesn't want to talk to anybody. She. Anytime we talk to her, with the thing she's talking about, she is in some world. You are in a different world.
Okay.
They are in a different world. Indeed, you are walking in your mandate and they don't like it. And if you continue to be faithful, those who turn away from you will walk back to you. They will start looking for you.
Hallelujah.
They will check you out. They will seek you out. If you are a preacher like me, let me tell you, many preachers have lost it today. Saul. Many preachers are like Saul today. Many engineers are like Saul today. I said that in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, the verse 8, it says, "They that look at lying vanities, they that look at worthless idols, they forfeit their own grace." God has given you a grace, an anointing. Now, you look and say, "Oh, I don't like me, this Barbara, I don't like this Barbara. Now, I want to be like Kofi." Then Barbara is changing to be like Kofi. Barbara is changing to be like Kofi. Now look at some preacher. The way this preacher preaches, I want to just preach like him. The next thing is I start making my hair like the preacher. Then all my dresses, I'll sew them like the preacher. Then I start walking. Meanwhile, God did not design my leg like. So you find me now, I'm walking like this. I'm a cartoon.
Hallelujah.
I'm a cartoon image of that preacher. So you will find people leaving you, scattering around you. And so say, and when I saw the people leaving, I decided to do something. So you realize that people have changed their identity. And in the realm of the spirit, when a demon is coming, you see, the demon that attacks the realm of politicians is not the same demon that attacks housewives. They are in categories. The demon that attack kings, they are in categories. They understand ranking. They understand command. They understand ranking. No demon can just fly into this territory and start operating. He has to seek permission from the principality in this territory to work. Okay. That a demon from my village will then come and then he's... No. Unless the principality here grants access and say, now you can go and work. If not, there will be a gridlock. There will be a fight in the spirit. They operate by, and many of our leaders have missed it. So I want to encourage you, before I start talking up a few things, I want to encourage you, discover your purpose. Let's get into this. What is the work of ministry? When the Bible talks about Ephesians chapter 4, let me read Ephesians chapter 4. Then we get into this. Ephesians chapter 4. I am very sure by 10:40 I'm done. I'm very sure. Before you realize the thing tense. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, the verse 11. Ephesians 4, the verse 11. Where are you? The verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints and for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me stop here. So we have seen over the how many weeks now, almost about 9 weeks of teaching this, that God gave apostles and prophets for your equipping. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, teachers, they are for your building. They are not entertainers. Any preacher who is an entertainer has failed. I'm saying something to you. Any church where you go, the pastor only will say, oh, Charlie, let me just share something and tell them some stories and then let's go home. And so that they give their offering, we go home. It is a failed ministry. The ministries are supposed to identify your uniqueness and relate that grace to your uniqueness. So it brings the ministry down to a place of relationship, a place of involvement, a place of engagement, a place of understanding who Martin is. It is not just about standing here and preaching anything and then somebody believes and then somebody goes. No. It's a laboring ministry. It's a building capacity in people. So look at it. He has given apostles, prophets for the equipping of Mark. When an apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher stands here today, I have to see them as one who are coming to build me. So let me start this way by saying that there are many priests of God whose voices have never been heard in public. There are many priests of God whose voices have never been heard in public, who have never been seen in a public way, who are unknown, but they are hidden often in God's assembly, yet they are involved in the assignment of God. And I think I've taught this aspect already, but let me review it a bit. And we said that the word ministry is diakonia. Diakonia means to serve or service. Diakonia means ministering. Diakonia means to minister or serve under instruction or command. Diakonia. So you have a ministry. You have a service to render to the body of Christ. You have a service to render to humanity. Don't ever walk through this life and think that there is nothing good about your existence. Please. Beyond all the miracles that we are going to receive, beyond all the breakthroughs, beyond the prophetic word. And you see, there's something we have to see. When a prophet mentions your name and mentions your condition, it is not just about your condition, no. There is a bigger revelation of God behind that. God wants to reveal something. And sometimes those things, they just bring you assurance and confidence. You feel grounded to continue to pursue your purpose. Bible says, and David served his generation and he died. You have to serve your generation. You have to serve the body of Christ. You have to serve your community. You have to serve your nation. You have a purpose. Whether you were born in wedlock, outside wedlock, whatever the condition under which you were born, whether you have food today, you have no food today, you have a purpose. And it's important that we are made aware of that. Let me just continue. So the word ministry, the work of ministry, you are being equipped for your work of ministry, your assignment in this life. So sometimes the service will be like a seminar. Because, you see, the world have taught us that church service should be when we come, we pray 2 minutes, and then we do this, and then we sing worship, and then we jump some feet, and then the pastor comes to preach, and then when he's done, then he leads some few prayers, and then we close, we give our offering, then we close and go home. But sometimes we can walk into the service, and we may not even start with praying. We may walk into the service, and we just rearrange the chairs, and we are sitting and facing one, and we are about to engage some new ideas that is going to change the way we live. I said it the other time in one of our meetings. I was teaching and I said, go online, go and research, find out this. One of the brothers went online and went researching. Before he realized, companies in Germany started writing to him and sending him samples of products. When we come to the gathering of the saints, we have to be resourced. Elisha was a man who resourced people. Elijah was a man who resourced people. Joseph was a man who resourced people. Jesus, he took men who were nothing and changed their lives, and they became men of impact and resource. So the word diaconia, which means service, or from which the word ministry is translated, also means office. You have an office. Now, if you've been following the teaching, I was telling Albert something. He received a very powerful prophecy. Was it last weekend? He received a very powerful prophecy last weekend. And I was telling him that if he has understood his office and where the office is coming from, that office is above everything. It's above the devil's plans and all. So you have an office. You are not ordinary. The word ministry means office, as the office of an elder, an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist. So some of us who are sitting here will be called into ministry, or we are called into ministry as evangelists, prophets, apostles, and all. Like if I start prophesying right now, okay, and I tell this brother that, does he know you will get into politics and become this and that and that and this, and be connected to a particular party and this and that and that, and the color of the party have some he may not believe it immediately. Because he will look at himself and say, I don't even have people who are politicians. I don't even like the way they behave. But at the end of the day, like I am seeing with my eyes open.
Fire!
At the end of the day, you have very strong political associations. And it's a calling. Why is it that me, I've not gotten up and been in politics? I mean, this guy, I'll go chop the body. No, God has not called me there because I have the weakness to chop the money. So if I go there right now, chop the money. Some of them, they are not called to be there. That is why they are chopping the money the way they are doing. That's why money has become like gold on the floor. Which party do you love? NDC. Even before I pray, Jehovah Nisi answered me to Bechuku. There are some two people here who are also, they are not in service today, who are also in that environment. So you have to connect to them. In fact, one of them is, in fact, not the two of them. One of them was telling me, he said, "Hey, Charlie, I went somewhere. I was there, so I'm going somewhere and come." And the person said, "I've taken some money." I said, "Hey, what are you going? Where are you going to?" "So, you, I'm going, I'll be back." He went, went somewhere and came and said, "Hey, where I went today?" Said, "The person I went to meet, hey, Charlie, now that the road is leading to the top." I said, "Go." Me, right now, if I go, I'll take the money. Yes, so I'll take the money. So you have a calling. You have a purpose. Ministry means a vocation. Now, let me ask you a question. What's your vocation? That's my wife. You're welcome. She has beat the time, man. I think when I move, no, she... He said, "Oh, this one, I'll swerve them." No, so let me ask you a question. What is your vocation? Matthew, what's your vocation? Barbara, what's your vocation? My dear, what's your vocation? What's your vocation? If I say vocation, do you understand? What work do you do? What's that skill? That is called ministry. That is called ministry. We had a brother who was in our meeting, and the brother had a fiancée. The brother got a new phone. Instead of giving the phone to the fiancée, who didn't have his old phone, to the fiancée, who didn't have a phone, somebody told the brother that they are doing the work of God. As for him, he's not doing the work of God. So he should give the phone to them. And she gave the phone. Not long, she lost his relationship. Because he couldn't get through to be talking to the fiancée. The relationship collapsed. Whatever you are doing is ministry. Whatever work you are doing is ministry. Whatever trade you are involved in is ministry. And if you begin to see it from that point, and then you look at an apostle who is also in ministry, you realize that the grace that is making an apostle so unique, the same grace makes you unique and makes you powerful in whatever you are doing. If we can begin to see our calling as such, it changes the way we function, the way we behave. So the word diaconia, which is ministry, it means vocation, like a nurse, like a teacher, like a driver, like an accountant, like an engineer, like a trader. That is ministry. It is important that pastors do not only see their members as bags of money. You, it is important that you see yourself correctly through the lenses of the Spirit. Because some preachers only see their members as bag of money. You need to say, "Well, this one is bag of money." But they are not seeing the call of God in them and the contribution that God has placed them within their world to make. If we can step into that, it changes the way we function. You are more powerful. You are not subservient. You are not inferior. You are in a place, and it's called divine choice, divine election. You are divinely chosen by God to be doing what you are doing, unless you missed it. Unless you miss it. So ministry, work of ministry for the saints involves many, many, many areas. It means contributing to the total edification and the growing up and the well-being of the local body. Like in this place, your work of ministry involves contributing to the well-being and the functionality and advancement of this place, of this house. What contribution are you supposed to give to the body? How much prayer do you spend praying for this ministry? I keep saying that when we're in Assemblies of God, the thing that we did, if many are doing it today, Oh God. Some ministries will not be where they are because we took it upon ourselves as though this is our work. I will pray 30 minutes for my pastor. Then when I finish, I'll pray for youth ministry. I'll pray for the leaders one by one. I'll pray for that brother who does not come to the meeting. Or I'll pray for this sister. There was this sister, Ejewa, every time she comes to youth meeting, she's fighting with people. And some of us took it upon ourselves to be praying for her. We didn't know what she was going through. So your work of ministry, number one, involves a contribution you make to the total well-being of this body. The Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 4 that every joint supplies. You have a contribution to make. Listen to this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let things be done for edification. There has to be your contribution to edify and strengthen and empower. Paul said that I wish that I will be with you to bring you some impartation for our mutual edification. So you see, we do not know why we attend the meetings. We attend because maybe somebody said we should attend. We do not understand that you are so valuable to the well-being of the place. I heard somebody say that, I'm going to the place. When I get my miracle, I'll stop going to the place. I said, look, he doesn't understand why he is there. Let me have the other microphone. Okay. All right, it's all right. He doesn't understand why he is there. Listen, ministry involves preaching of the gospel. I think I still need it. The battery is not done properly. Ministry involves the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. It involves the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is not just about you go and stand by the roadside and you are preaching. But in your sphere of work, you can preach. It takes on different forms. Evangelism takes on different forms. You do not necessarily have to go and hold a megaphone and then you are doing dawn broadcasting. All of that is included, but you can function wherever you are. Ministry, you can function. It involves the preaching. Your ministry involves the preaching. If you were Joseph in Pharaoh's palace, you may certainly not be quoting verses. If you were Joseph standing in front of Pharaoh and you were serving Pharaoh, would you be quoting verses and Pharaoh, listen to the word of God and listen and you must be born again? What did Joseph do? What did he do when he was in? Joseph simply said, economic catastrophe is coming. A, B, C, D, when you do this and you do that, Joseph is in ministry. So sometimes we have looked down upon ourselves and looked down upon the work we do, and we have not been able to live out of that and exercise our calling and ministry properly. Do you know that that house you will build for somebody, the person will look at you and say, there is something about you that I like. I want to know your God. Do you know that that hair you will fix for somebody, the person will just look at you and say, the way you have fixed this hair, can I ask you a question? Are you born again? Are you a Christian? Can I follow you to your meeting? Or can I discuss something with you? I have this challenge. Can I discuss something with you? Meanwhile, you have not said anything. The work of ministry is not only inside the four walls, but you have a contribution to make to the growth and the well-being. You have to wake up and pray for this ministry and ask that, Lord, grow this. Lord, increase us. Lord, grow people. Lord, bless this one. Lord, bless that one. Lord, let there be this dimension. Let that change. Lord, let this happen. You have to. Maybe you are called into ministry and you are just purely a giver. All of you, for you, you don't understand anything he's giving. A man of God was saying that he was standing he has a big church, but this time it was a small meeting. It was a small meeting and he was complaining because he needed money. So he stopped ministering. Then he said, you know something, you both should help us. Help us to build this particular, help us, okay? Then while he was talking, a man got up from the few people who were sitting there and walked up and said, Prophet, can I speak? Can I say something to you? Can I have your microphone? And he gave the microphone to the man. He said, Prophet, I want you to stop what you are saying. Right now, I'm giving you 1 million Ghana cedis. This is the check. Take, Prophet. I want you to stop complaining. Your work is you have to prophesy. Go ahead and be prophesying to us. As for the money, we would supply the money. Just like that. So if you do not know your place, another will take your place. The work of ministry involves preaching. If you were Joseph in Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh's palace, you will certainly not be quoting verses. However, you would have to effectively write economic policies that would transform the nation and save the entire generation from the destruction. Also, if you were like Daniel, who led the entire kingdom of Babylon, he was a governor. Daniel was a governor. He led the entire kingdom of Babylon. You have to bring every environment that you find yourself in to recognize the sovereignty of God. Your ministry is where we live, where we work, and where we play. You carry it wherever you go. You don't have to wait until you are quoting verses for you to say that you are doing the work of ministry. The sound has changed, Abed. You don't have to be quoting verses to start. Doing the work of ministry. As we are saying, think about Paul, who was standing before Felix and Agrippa. You have to apply yourself properly. Doing the work of ministry involves evangelism. You have to do the work of an evangelist. You have to win souls for the kingdom. You have to invite people to the kingdom. This is for all believers. Whether you are a lawyer, whether you are a judge, whether you are a preacher, whether you are a doctor, whether you are a giver, whatever you are, whatever, your work is to bring people into the kingdom. The work of ministry, your work of ministry means you have to exercise yourself in your specialized gifts, talents, and calling, and profession, and grace, which must be in according to God's plan. So you realize this is what we do. When we come to the gathering of the saints, we try to polish ourselves and throw away and wear some religious garment. We are not able to come with our lawyer self. We are not able to come with our engineering self. We in fact, and there's an article I read. It says that when the Muslims go to the mosque, they remove their sandals. But when Christians go to the church, they remove their brain and put it behind. And then they enter. No wonder somebody will put his foot on somebody's tummy and mash it. We went somewhere and my wife told me something. She said, I shouldn't do that. There was this prophet, he spat in somebody's mouth. You do remember that thing? You remember? And he said, don't ever do that. She told me, he said, don't ever do that. He said, he's healing the person. The person does not have a child. Do you know that the lady's marriage collapsed? Do you know that lady, I can mention her name. Pepe. Do you know that lady? No, I'm not mentioning. I'm there. Mikaipa, I started with Jean. Do you know that lady? She had investments. She would just be there. The man of God would say, I need money. She would just go and withdraw. To the extent that identity thief in Nisubi, you know, she was saying that when she was withdrawing the money, the bank and invest, they said, why are you taking all your investment down? What is wrong with you? Then when that finished, when the man is there, then once in a while, the man will give 1,000 Ghana cedis, 500 Ghana cedis. We're messing it up by sowing a certain foolish seed in her. There are other things we can't mention. So your work of ministry, your talents, have you discovered your talent? That is your leadership. Swim goes with fishes, isn't it? What goes with you? You have to discover that. My yesterday we were doing some gardening work, and then one of my son asked me a question. He said, why does these things fly? I said, that is the way they are built. Oh, their work is flying. You walk. I said, no. First, I said, can you fly? He said, no. I said, can this one fly? He said, yes. I said, that is the inbuilt. Your talents, your special gifts. Some of us, we have dark hole, and we have put our special gift in the hole, and we are waiting, and then we are looking at another, and so we admire another. I say, hey, Charlie, this one, I want to be like. Meanwhile, your talent is buried. It is time that we wake up. Apply yourself. Nobody is in that, and so do go ahead and do it. Because that is the thing that will make you a leader, and that is a specialization you need to work in. Your work of ministry is not only within the four walls. When we come within the four walls, let's serve one another. Your work of ministry involves the work of an evangelist. You go, you are winning souls like you are a mad person. But there you are, you have a specialized talent and gift and calling. You are winning souls, you are preaching, you are evangelizing people, you are praying, you are investing into the growth of the place. You are giving, but your talent is not neglected. If you have not discovered your talent, your calling, it is time. It is time. Exercise yourself in your specialized gift, your talent, your calling, your profession, your graces. It must happen in this life. Listen, in developing each believer for the work of ministry from the fivefold ministry perspective, the ministries are supposed to impact the same fullness of Christ deposited in them. So you see, when I am sitting under a ministry, I am sitting there as an accountant, I'm sitting there as a finance person, I'm sitting there as a preacher at the same time. I'm sitting there as a husband. And I'm trying to engage to receive impartation to fit into all of this realm. God is vast, and he is able to do the impossible. So I am opening myself for a preacher to just stand and just say he is preaching something, keke, you are deceiving people. So when you come into this gathering, whether it's Open Heavens meeting, whether it's Facebook Live, whether it's Thursday, whatever time we are gathered, whether it's a prayer time, you have to open up for full impartation. The apostle is supposed to take the same fullness of Christ without anything in subtraction or addition. He's supposed to put that same thing in you. The prophet, all of who Christ is and has ever been and which was deposited, he has to release all of that to you. And so we have to position ourselves, and this is how the miracles happen. It takes the fullness of Christ. It takes the fullness of Christ. Listen, I'm just going to go a little bit and then I'll wrap up. And next week, maybe I will talk about the nature of your call. If you understand the nature of your call, you are so powerful. Oh God, I cannot talk. He says that I have called you. The guy can talk now. No, do you understand that? Oh God, I'm a blind person. I cannot see. He said, I have called you. You can see. From that time, the guy starts singing. Your purpose, your call in God, it diminishes every limitation in our lives, including our great-grandfather's ancestral demon. It just cuts it off. Didn't you read in 2 Timothy? It says that who has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. I love that. Not according to what I have done, what my father did, but according to his own grace and purpose. before the foundation in Christ Jesus. I bet your microphones are all dead. In Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Come and take it. Your calling, your purpose is older than the devil. Your calling, your purpose is older than the devil. You are older than the devil. Do you know that? If you don't know this, you would think that the devil is winning everything against you. Please. It's important that we discover this. So in developing every believer, the apostle, the evangelist is supposed to give out the fullness of Christ. No subtraction. No subtraction. I'm supposed to be among the believers and not just generalize. I just preach some general message and then I walk away, then I'm feeling good. I must be able to relay the gift of God to Martin. It changes the way apostles function. So in essence, the work of ministry is who we are. It is what we do wherever we live, we play and work. Even when you're in the middle of the ocean, you have to carry that grace with you. I was sharing on Facebook one day, I got to the office. When I opened, there were two glass doors that flip. So when I push one and I entered, there's another one. I pushed that one and entered. The secretary was sitting there. She's a Muslim. And me too, I know how to do deliverance now. I carry it wherever I go. Immediately I entered, I saw about seven dwarfs standing around her. So I said, good morning, and she was. Then I realized that what I saw was real. The girl had already, whether she is fainting or whatever, I don't know. And her head was on the table. So I quickly rushed to my office, dropped my bag and my iPad, and I came to her. I can't remember her name. And I called her. She went, I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. 7:30 a.m. People were arriving. She fell off and said, boop, 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 boop. People heard it. So somebody heard me say, in office, oh. 7:30. So somebody heard, in the name of Jesus. Then they heard, boop. So people started rushing down. In fact, when I got to the office, one of my colleagues said, oh, Mr. Bukum, why are you in a rush? So he was following me. Ernest was following me. And I said, I demand. She was lying on the floor. 7:30 in the morning. And I said, I demand never to enter into her again. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Then she opened her eyes. Muslims had come down from second floor, first floor. People have come down. Then me too, I walk quietly. And then, so Ernest was following me. Ernest is my body. He says, Mr. Bukum, what happened? What happened? Mr. Bukum, what did you see? What is that? What happened? I said, it is done. The boss of the lady asked the lady to go home. Because, you know, as for them, the boss is also a Muslim. They think it's something. So she went around 12:30 lunchtime. She called me on the phone and said, please, I am sitting somewhere. There's a barbering saloon where I go to bar. I said, I'm sitting somewhere around the place. Can you come? I want to talk to you. So when I went, she started, it's a Muslim. She started asking me, what did you see? I heard you mention something. What you mentioned in Islam, we call it this and that and that. And it is, and I said, it is your boyfriend, that boyfriend you don't love, the one you don't want to date. It is, he is the one who has gone to a malam to do. He said, look, we had a lengthy conversation. I pray that seed listened to born again. So you have to carry your ministry wherever you went, you go. You can't, Barbara, you cannot be in your shop and then some riffraff is coming to fool around. and then you are looking, and then he will fool around. No, I demand in the name of Jesus. And then realize, hey, this beautician is not. A Nigerian preacher said that there was a lady who was going to all night, who was coming to his all night, and she left home very late, and the road was dangerous. So she was walking, and on the road she met three guys. Hey, hey, where did they go now? Who be you? I'm sure they also are afraid, whether they are wondering she's a ghost or she's a human being. Who be you? And she said, Broskoto. I said, hey, now this one are ghost too. They let her pass. Carry your grace wherever you go to. From today, you would understand that your work of ministry involves your talent. From today, you understand that your work of ministry involves your giving. From today, you understand that work of ministry involves your investment of prayer for the place. From today, you understand that you have to commit yourself to make something work in this place. You know, sometimes I see people, I used to tell people, I said, when you are in a place and you find out something is not working, what do? Take up that thing and begin to do it. Listen. Your work of ministry takes place wherever you live, in church meeting, wherever you work, wherever you play. Jeremiah chapter 3, the verse 15, it says that I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So God is bringing us to the place where we would be equipped. Ezekiel says that they will teach you, they will teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. In any dispute, the priests are to serve as judges and decide according to my ordinance. They are to keep my law and decrees for all my appointed festivals, and to keep it for the Sabbath. So the next time you get tempted to minimize your daily work as anything less than a holy calling, you have to think twice. The next time you think about, oh, as for this thing I'm doing, it's not a holy calling at all. The holy calling. That is why you will find somebody who is doing very well in business. Suddenly, the person says, God have called me, and then he or she will lose everything. Have you not seen that? Because he has thought about what she is doing as not holy. The holy is preaching. I challenge you this morning. Go back and function. Function confidently and be bold about it. You can sit and ask God, God, give me anointing to do this. Look, there's a preacher. He was telling me that he was into a certain business and he was losing money. One day he woke up at dawn and he prayed and said, Father, people are making money from this business. Me, give me the anointing to make this thing work. And pa, 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 that week, 7,000. That pa, 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 he's made serious money within there just that week. There is anointing that makes an engineer. And this morning, wherever you are called, you are going to ask God to increase you and strengthen you. You are going to ask God to open your eyes. Maybe there are things you need to do in that area that will lead to you prospering. You are going to now ask God, God, what is that specific thing I can do in that thing? Martin, you can now begin to confidently pray and say, Father, you have called me as a mason. I am a contractor. Father, now show me the places I can go to get business. Show me who to talk to. Father, invade my life. Lord, now connect me to ABCD. Lord, I want to meet this person. Father, I need contracts. And then when they put a plan before you, don't even understand, you say, we can do it because you and the Holy Spirit are involved. When they put certain things in front of you, you can do it. I want to challenge you this morning. I'm sure in many places it will just be an entertainment this morning. But listen, you don't have to grow old to discover your purpose. As young as you are, you have to powerfully live it without apologizing to anybody. I'm going to pull this thing down. I'm going to just draw a curtain on this. It's 10:45 already. So the next time you are tempted to minimize your daily work as anything less than a holy calling, remember that Jesus was a workplace minister as a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. in his community. He has called you and I to reflect his glory in our work. Listen, the abiding validity of true leadership lies in how many more people have been raised to become leaders, to where we are transforming followers to become leaders. We must become leaders, and we must use our leadership gifts. We can use our leadership gift. I want to challenge you this morning that God have called you and have given you a specialized grace and purpose. God have called you and has invested grace in you. You are not ordinary. You are not walking through this earth. Your paid job can mean ministry. Your paid job can mean your work of ministry. Your work as your gift and talents can mean your place of ministry. And this means fulfillment through you being deployed. Do you know that in your talent, nobody can sack you? Do you know the best place you can be employed is where you are in your own talent and identity? Who can say that you are fired from being you? So why do we reject ourselves? So somebody will wear Tommy Hilfiger and feel, okay, yeah, you know, now I'm feeling fulfilled. I'm wearing Tommy. I think now you have to design Barbara, then we also buy. You have to design Martin, then we also buy. You have to design Mark, then we also buy. Your job can mean work of ministry. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe in ourselves. I want to stop here. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to have a very clear identity. We have to have a very strong character. Please rise up and let's pray, because I'm not going to extend this. You want to pray and trust God this morning. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you are into. But you can pray to God that he will put grace upon you, that you begin to prosper in that thing. Me, I want to pray to God that I will prosper. I will prosper in preaching. I will prosper in accounting. I will prosper in everything that I set my hands to do. I will prosper in business. You want to pray. You want to talk to God this morning. Now, Father, put an anointing on me. Lord, put grace upon me. Mandiko shaparakato siya tadadaba rabako ndedebe shaka tadadabako radadabako rebeka tadadabako yatadadabako siya tadadalaba jededebeko ayantadadaba siya tadadaba jebededebe alabrahato delekato barikataya ayantadadaba jebedadaba kadadaba ayontododobo. Father, I ask that your hand will come upon me. Lord, I ask that your hand will come. Please, let me say something. How many prayers does Elon Musk pray? But do you know, he probably prays to something. Don't be deceived. Eh? Don't be deceived. Sometimes somebody will tell you that, we don't pray like you pray. They pray to something. They pray to something. They pray to something. Some of the rich people, look, one, I was trying to market something, and then this man I met, he is one of the consultants for Goel. The Goel stations that you see, many of them, he is the one that will consult and do the proposal and give to them, do the evaluation and all. Tall man, handsome man. He said, gentlemen, are you born again? I said, yes. He said, I've watched your status. I can't remember his name. I need to check. His number should be on my phone. He said, I've watched your status. I see that you are into the work of God. And he said, hey, these days people are dying. Oh. So me, I'm afraid. So I don't joke with God. I don't just get up and go anywhere. I don't just eat anywhere. This big one was telling me. He said, but there are some people I know. They go places. I know somebody who told... He told a businessman, he said, you know, I want to advise you. The place I go, if I tell you to go, you will not go. So I want to show you somewhere in Nigeria. Go. Go to this man of God. Do you understand that? Now, this person I'm talking about, he is fucking serious, seriously dusted. He was in South Africa with some friends, and when they got there, he went to a showroom. He said he wanted a particular car. They asked him, what specs of the car does he want? He said, take everything in the booklet. Every aspect of the car. You know, when you're going to buy a custom-made car, you can choose, oh, okay, put this, maybe this number of ACs. He says, everything, take. When they open the car, you see. I've seen it. When you open the car, it's giving me lifts. Those days, I didn't have a car to drive. Listen, I want to challenge you. This morning, you have to talk to God. Friday, I was leading prayer here, and I told the people here that there is something. It says that through the greatness of your power, your enemies will bow. Psalm 66. It says, say unto God how powerful you are. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies will bow. Then he said, I found David my servant, Psalm 89. I found David my servant with my holy oil, have anointed him. Therefore, the enemy shall not outwit him. There is a place in your calling. When there is grace, the enemy cannot bypass you. You have to succeed in what you are doing. You have to go back into the field and prosper. Wherever the battle is, you have to begin to win it. You want to pray and say, Father, I know you have called me into this area. Maybe you are a student right now, you've not fully discovered. Father, I'm not too sure what are the things I'm supposed to do. Lord, reveal to me and anoint me as I pray. In the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and let's pray. Man takayo raba zekete daraba shakata ayanda dalaba ziyato delebe kaya daraba jebedebe Yabragata dadaba jebedebe kalaba Yata dadaba kolebedebe jebedebe Ayabrakata dadaba. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, in any area of my life that I've missed your purpose and calling, Father, restore me. Lord, restore me. Lord, restore me. Anything that I'm supposed to be doing right now, which I am not doing, oh God, redirect my path. Let me discover that which I'm supposed to walk in. Anything that I'm supposed to function in, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will correct my ways. I ask that you will anoint me this morning. I ask that you will empower me this morning. I ask that you will put grace upon me this morning. Ayata daraba shakata ayabarako sapra daraba shabadara alaba daraba ko shabadaraba kalaba ayabraga daraba shabadaraba kolelebe ayabranda daraba ko labasata daraba ayabrakata daraba shebelebe ayabrato bodolobo sapra daraba ko ayata daraba shabadaraba. Oh Lord, anoint me. Lord, anoint me for your commissioning. Anoint me for your commissioning. Anoint me for your purpose. Anoint me, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Ayabra katadadaba shabada. Yaparabako delebe, Ayaparabaka dadaba shebedebe, Ayatadaba shebedebe kalalaba, Ayaparabako rebedebe, Ayabranda dadaba shebedebe kalalaba, Ayabrando dobo shebedebe kayaba, Ayaparabako dobo shebedebe, Ayabranda daba kolaba shebedaba, Ayatadaba kolaba shebedebe, in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to pray once again. The Bible says to subvert a man from his course, the Lord does not permit. Who is he that speaks a thing and it comes to pass? There's a gentleman who had a brush up with me, and he bought a brand new car. And he said, Pastor, I am afraid to drive this car. I said, why? He said, I'm afraid it will kill me. He said, Pastor, I am afraid. So sometimes I have in my car 1 million Ghana cedis, and 2 a.m. I am driving to go and buy products. Pastor, our industry, they kill people. Oh, Pastor, I'm afraid they'll kill me. And I said, you are called to do what you are doing. There's an anointing that informs what you do. I said, drive that car and bring it. He tried to start the car that evening to bring the car will not start. It was a Wednesday. The car will never start. He said he did. Eventually, the car started and he brought the car. And I said, let's pray. And we prayed. And God released protection over him. And God brought him into understanding why he is in that space. from that day. And I remember that as the Lord instructed me, I anointed his slippers. I was wearing some. I said, remove the slippers. He said, Pastor, I never joke with that slippers. He said, Pastor, I am confident. But now his words have even changed. The things that he is saying now, he realized that the guy has gone off. You see the power of money without knowing, without staying, sticking to the purpose. You want to pray. Anything that is hindering you and preventing you from walking in that calling, we are removing it. Anything that is preventing you from prospering in that call, we are removing it in the name of Jesus. Because to subvert a man from his course, the Lord has not approved of it. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, every warfare that has been launched against me and against this ministry and against this work and against my calling and against, Father, my assignment, against, Father, my ability as a finance person, oh God Almighty, let the hand of God be lifted and let the Lord fight against, let the Lord oppose, let the Lord overthrow everything that the enemy have brought against me. Ayata roko shabadaba ayadadadaba kadadaba shabadadaba alabakoto rebe kadadaba sebedele ayata dadaba kolalaba shebedelebe ayabra gadadaba sebedelebe ayata dadaba kodabadadaba shabadaba ayabara katada Dadaba Kadadaba Zabadaba Ayabraga Tadadaba Korabada Ayadadaba Koleba Shebadaba Ayantadaba Koraba Dadaba Ko Alabrandaba Kodeleba Shabadaba. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, let every roadblock be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I want you to pray. I was saying on Facebook Live yesterday that if Joseph will be able by vision, say 7 years from now, this will happen and that will happen, and therefore this is the. He did not just say this will happen and he left it, but he said you should do this, you should do that, you should build silos, you should put this. Then I believe that God can show you in what you are doing. 6 months from now, 5 years from now, 1 year from now, what is that exact thing you must do that will break you through? Now look at it. Now AI is overtaking web designing. So a lot of web designers have lost their jobs. Unless maybe you have to now learn how to use the AI to design and somebody is lazy not to learn how to do it. But in fact, with some of the AI, it's just drag and drop. You want this, you just drag and drop it here. You want this, or you just describe your business to it. It will give you a modifiable template. Then you can modify it to suit your own. You send it back to the AI. The AI will give you. You can continue to do that the next 1 month and you have a powerful website. You want to pray, Father. Isaiah chapter 45, it says that I will give you treasures in hidden places and riches in darkness. It says, I will go before you. I will go before you. You want to pray, Father. What is that thing I can do in this calling to prosper? What is that thing I can do in this calling to prosper? What is that thing I can do in this calling to prosper? What can I do? For example, me, I'll pray. What can I do in ministry to change this ministry? To see the results that we have desired. What can I do as a business person? What can I do as a student to begin to change my results? How must I begin to position myself? And then the Spirit of the Lord will say, now, as a student, you know, begin to invest 2 hours every day. Or invest 2 hours in the morning and invest 2 hours before you go to bed. And in the next 3 months, increase it to three hours and 3 hours and begin to, and now begin to associate. Maybe as a business person, the Lord will now begin to order your steps. You never even know. Sometimes you may just be walking in a place and you find some people, they are telling some story. You just stand to listen. Then somebody will ask you, oh, are you one of us? He said, oh no. He said, you know something? I can show you how to prosper in this, and that is the door that is opening. I heard a guy's prophecy. The guy was doing powerful business in America, and then he lost everything and he came down. And this prophet told him, he says that you are going back to America. And when you go back to America, you will go to hotels so and so. And you will be at a conference in this hotel. In that conference, you are going to be sitting by the CEO of the company that canceled your contracts. And when you, his name is so and so, direct. When you see him, tell him the story about what happened to your business. And that was it. He went back to America, no hope. Then there was this conference he registered for. He didn't know that the CEO of so-and-so company that canceled his contract some a year or two ago was coming. Then at the table where they were sitting and they were eating, they were talking, they had finished eating, and now they were talking and sharing ideas. And they said, can we share cards? And then the CEO of that company pulled his card and saw the name. He said, wow. He said, I am so-and-so. And my business was doing business with your company, but somebody canceled. They said, who did that to you? That is the end of the story. He bought brand new ML for this prophet item. Brand new. He said, it has happened. Brand new. Listen, you want to pray for repositioning. You want to pray, Father, what is that thing I can do? Lord, what is that thing I can do to change what I'm doing? And what is that thing I can do to begin to prosper? Because your gift will prosper you. Your gift will bring you before kings. Your gift will make you serve your generation. Begin to talk to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will open our eyes to opportunities. Lord, you will bring us into relationships in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Father, oh God, what are the dimensions that changes a man's life? What are the dimensions that changes a man's ministry? What are the dimensions that changes a man's finances? What are the dimensions that changes a man's business? What are the dimensions that changes a man's career? Lord God Almighty, that you will reveal to me that single idea. Lord, that you will reveal to me that single product. Ayapako. Rabakayapa, Ayapa, Rabakapa, Rapa, Ayabadaba, Kadadaba, Ayabadaba, Shabadaba. Lord, bring me into the relationships. Ayabra, Godelebe, Kayabadaba, Ayabra, Dadabako, Dadabalaba, Ayabadabako, Rabba, Shabadaba, Ayabarabako, Nelebe, Sapadaba. The relationships that will prosper me. Look, there is a friend of mine in Nigeria. During COVID, maybe this will be my last prayer topic. During COVID, I started this Tuesday and Thursday meetings, 8 p.m. every night. And my friend pushed the wife to join. One Tuesday, I finished teaching, and I was teaching on he breath and man became. And I finished teaching using Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. Now, let me say something. Do you know why Ezekiel told God, only you know? God asked if these bones will live. He said, only you know. It's only you, God, who know. Do you know why Ezekiel told that? Told God that. Now, read Ezekiel's book carefully. You realize Ezekiel had experienced a lot of powerful moments. But when he came to 37, he was seeing dead bones, and the man even does not have faith in himself. He couldn't believe that this thing will work. And I'm sure some of us are standing here where you have gotten to, this thing will not work again in my life. You are in a good place because you are now placing the power on God. Only you alone know. So I was teaching. When I finished teaching, I said, Temi, I want to speak with you. I want to prophesy over you and your husband. I am seeing cement bags. I'm seeing iron rods. And I'm seeing that you guys are going to start getting into construction and building materials and all. 3 months. 3 months. 3 months. Wow, this the husband is a contractor. He has no, I asked the husband, I said, you have you done course? He said, no. I said, how did you get into this? He said, after that prophecy, things began to join. Things began to connect. I want you to pray. There has to be some people who will come into your life. He got a call and somebody asked him, so do you know anybody who can help me? I want to build a house and this and that. He said, I can do it.
Thank you.
Not long, he started selling lands. He started selling, building houses and showcasing the pictures on Instagram, different project sites, and he's traveling and not sleeping, having time to even stay at home. I said, wow. In fact, I'm going to call him and say that the money you got, or you have not given me some. This one is not prophet asking, but this is friend. So bring me the money.
Thank you.
He started doing well because of one single call. You want to pray. Number one, you want to cover everybody within your financial equation, whether you know the person or not. There are some people inside your financial equation that will make you prosper. There's somebody who just say, you know something, go to this place and look for this particular shop. I want to rent it for you. Before you realize, 5 years. There's a prophet who said a Muslim had paid, is it 5 years or 10 years for him to be on TV? Wow. He said the Muslim said he was meditating and his God revealed to him that a star is rising in Ghana. And when I traced the star was you. He paid for one of the channels. A Muslim. We are lifting a prayer. We are asking right now that the Lord will secure our financial people within our financial equation. We are praying and you are asking the Lord. He should connect you to the right men, the right women with your gift and talents. He should connect you. Some of the things people are doing, I'm sure you can do better. But you are not being seen. You are praying, Father, let me be connected. Come on, lift up your voice and let's pray. My God, Liko Shabada, we pray for protection over the people, the men and women within our financial equation. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.